Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Kane from Citizen Free Press walks us through the latest news of indictments, DOJ, Tucker, and more. And then Tom Fitton talks about what it's like to testify in front of Jack Smith's grand jury. And finally, an update of Pride Month, a city conquered and conquested, colonialized by the Alphabet Mafia. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. With us now is one of my favorite guests, Mr. Kane, Citizen Kane, from citizenfreepress.com. I check out the stack at least 15, 20 times a day. I could tell when Mr. Kane is taking a coffee break because I say, where's the stack? Where's the stack? Where's the stack? Not to put more pressure on you, Mr. Kane. Welcome back to the program.
The pressure never ends, brother.
Never ends. The grind never ends. So the audience, I wish, could kind of hear some of the conversations I've been having with Kane over the last couple of weeks. What I love about Kane is that he is the best news aggregator in the business. He's going to overtake Drudge by the election. That's my prediction. Citizenfreepress.com. But he's constantly consuming news, thousands of articles a week, understanding trends and really mapping things out. And Kane, to your credit, a couple weeks ago, you know, we had a phone caller like, look, I think Trump's going to be seeing multiple criminal indictments simultaneously. Kane, it looks like that is materializing. How should we think about this?
Well, I thought of you last night. Hannity had on Judge Jeanine, and at some point he interrupted her and he acted like it was a revelation to him. He was like, you know what? We're going to be looking at multiple, President Trump is going to be looking at multiple criminal trials next year. And he laid him out. He went through Fulton County. And I thought, well, he should have been watching Charlie's show because we've been discussing this. You know, we want to be ahead of this. We've been discussing it for a month or longer.
Yeah, we've been gaming this out, and it's starting to stack against Trump. And so here's my first theory, Kane, is that I don't trust these Marxists at all. I think Bragg was commissioned to move the Overton window. Because what was our talking point when Bragg did his indictment? Unprecedented, never happened before, they've crossed the Rubicon. Now that's done. Now all of a sudden, it's almost sets the foundation. Now it's all precedented. It's not as newsy, right? And by the way, what paved the way for Bragg was the raid of Mar-a-Lago, right? So these things almost were escalating. I'm not saying that there's some sort of grand maestro planning all this. I wouldn't be surprised if there is. We have no evidence to support it. But I do think that there was some sort of a wink and a nod and a signal to get Bragg to, no matter how silly it is, get him processed, get him in, so that all of a sudden the Overton window has moved where it's now acceptable to go after Trump.
Yeah, they groomed us, right? The Mar-a-Lago raid was the first example. Then Alvin Bragg gets the American public more prepared for the idea of this unprecedented banana republic action, where you indict a former president on bogus charges. So, yeah, you know, both of us have wondered if there's any communication going on. Are they giving each other signals secretly?
I talked about this on the phone like 2 weeks ago, remember? That there has to be a wink and a nod network going on, right? There has to be an ombudsman that's connecting the two camps.
Yeah, and they can, as you surmise, they can communicate to each other through the New York Times.
That's right. Yeah, that's my working theory, is that they actually communicate in the public channels so that there's no FOIA or there's no way that they could ever be discovered.
Yeah, and that, you know, that would behoove them to do that. I remember, I think it was called Journalist. It was maybe 5, 10 years ago, it was a Nate Silver thing where they discovered there was a, you know, one of the early messenger services where hundreds of liberal journalists were all colluding, essentially. So now they know they have to be more careful, and they do it secretly through through stories. But yeah, so getting into this, you and I have known this is coming. Anyone who's been watching has known this is coming, right? We just put two and two together. Once we and we've been trying to follow the timeline. We, you know, we have the trial date now for Trump and Alvin Bragg in next year, March 24th, I think it begins. And we know, you know, you and I have been talking about what's coming with Fannie Willis. And since we last spoke, we've had, you know, details leak out that she's looking at a RICO charge. Georgia has an interesting racketeering law. And so we gamed that one correctly as well, as we both. Well, it's not like we're Einsteins here. All we did was read the liberal media. We read the Atlanta Journal. We saw what was coming. So, you know, so no one should be angry and no one should be upset. We just need to be prepared for this. So, and so that's why I covered it so heavily yesterday and have been covering the, you know, the possibility or the potential of the Mark Meadows development. All of this not to make Trump voters upset or depressed or anything. It's to prepare them. You know, the best way that we can counteract this is to know it's coming. And I know you agree with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, if you take out the element of surprise and shock and awe, they lose power. They decrease in their capacity
exactly.
to be able to come after, not just come after us, but then to get us off our game. And part of this is mass demoralization. And so, Kane, I put this up last night, and it's been going kind of viral. Millions of people have seen it. But it's time for us to connect the dots. And again, I'm not always saying that there's some sort of puppeteer or grand maestro or a conductor, as the World Economic Forum would say. I wouldn't be surprised if there is. But sometimes you don't always need it, because as long as they're all and this is important. People say, oh, Charlie, is there a central conspiracy? There could be. But also, they all could just be reading the same stuff. So therefore, they're all thinking the same way. So they're all going to behave the same way, right? If you just read the New York Times and you internalize the op-ed section, you know, on MSNBC's website, you're going to end up with the same sort of behaviors. For example, this is not just about indicting Trump now. There now is a precedent to use public-private power to take people off of broadcasting. And so, Kane, let's just like really take a moment here and realize how much has changed since January 1 of this year, where we knew we were going to be in for a wild year. Tucker is now going to be benched till 2025 if Fox News gets their way, according to Axios. Bannon is going to prison for 4 years. Bongino is all out at Fox. James O'Keefe out and sued. Kane, we're looking at more than just, hey, we're going to indict Trump and make him face criminal charges. This is an all of the above media, communication, and political approach to stop our movement.
I don't think you can argue with that. The evidence is too clear. You know, Bongino went first, if my memory serves.
Yeah, it was the Friday. It was like the Thursday or Friday before. Then boom.
Yeah. So Bongino was out first, and then you're right in quoting that Axios story. I put a second headline in on that one. On the bottom of it, it talked about how Tucker has been told that Fox News wants to keep him off the air until 2025. Obviously, that's a huge voice. Last night, you know, his episode one was at 94 million views and counting as of about 8 o'clock last night. I'm sure it's well over 100 million now. It was weird in the statement that Fox leaked to Axios. They talked about the length of it. They mentioned that Tucker did an episode of longer than 10 minutes, somehow claiming that, you know, the length makes it, violates their, you know, the NDA. I'll quickly throw in, hopefully I won't lose my point on this. Someone in the open thread on CFP today said Tucker should just announce he's running for vice president. And all of these episodes would hopefully be protected political speech. Obviously, people don't run for vice president. I understand that. But it would be, you know, it's sort of a weird aside. But yeah, they seem to be coming after everyone, right? I'm sure you're looking over your shoulder.
Oh,
you mentioned
it's not even around your shoulder. It's, hey, where's the sword of Damocles and when is it dropping? When you're expecting it, it's like whatever, right? And
yeah.
I mean, look, Marxists love lists, and Turning Point's been on a list for a while. And here we go, right? Buckle up, because, I mean, they've been saying it for quite some time. They want to take this show off the air. They want to put me in prison, and they want to lock down Turning Point USA. And boy, I'm not saying that there's any sort of conducta symmetry here. You got to get that quote, Ryan, from the World Economic Forum. Every orchestra needs a conductor. When the World Economic Forum said that 2 years ago, it's just too perfect. What I am saying, though, isn't it curious and interesting? Mike Pence gets a DOJ memo. We're not going after you. Chris Christie announces, Burgum announces, and Pence announces, all while DOJ is going after charges against Trump. That's obviously just a coincidence. No one is making all that happen. And if you believe that, you're a conspiracy theorist. But almost to further, let's just say, skyrocket the anger of our movement, we have to put up with people who call themselves Republicans talking like Chris Christie and Mike Pence. It's almost a too good to be true recipe. Look, are you concerned about the American K through 12 education system? Are you worried about what your children and your grandchildren are learning or honestly not learning in school? If you answer yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. They're now offering 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis. It's titled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn. The special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education, explaining why parents and teachers, not unelected bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children are learning. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis at your church, local business, or even in your doctor's office. Do not miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. I love Hillsdale College. I'm an enthusiastic promoter of them. So check it out right now at charlie4hillsdale.com. So, Kane, what is the chatter on Citizen Free Press about all these other people running for the presidency? Pence, Christie, et cetera. What are you hearing?
Oh, they don't even pay attention to. No one's taking it seriously. Everyone's cynical. You know my base. You know my readership. So the first comments are like, well, someone wants to set up a PAC and get it filled with 5 million or 10 million. I mean, that's the thought process. There's no reason for people like Pence to be running for Governor Christie to be announcing. I'm sure you saw that sort of pathetic mini room hall that he had. Like, and you know, and the governor of North Dakota. I'm sure these are all wonderful people, but they realize they have no chance. And it's funny. I really don't even. It's almost so worthless that it's not worth talking about. So I want to say something really quick about something you said in the previous segment. So you're talking about how they're coming after all of our leaders, right? And not just Trump, but everyone in the orbit, everyone. And so you're going to have Tom Fitton on next, and I'm sure you're going to be discussing with him how he's gone public in the last 3 or 4 days about his testimony before Jack Smith and his grand jury. And it's some really interesting things that Tom Fitton has already made public, including how the DOJ prosecutor attempted to sort of bully him into not talking about the process. So that's, Tom Fitton is another guy that they're trying to silence. So let's get to Bannon really quick, because I know your audience loves Bannon and loves Warren. So I want people to know what this guy is going through. So everyone remembers that the congressional subpoena case that he ignored and was prosecuted for, even though dozens of other people have ignored congressional subpoenas through the years and nothing happened to them. Bannon was prosecuted. He was found guilty last fall, October. It was a 4-month sentence, but it was delayed pending appeal. Well, Bannon's legal team made the appeal to the D.C. Circuit Court in early May, and DOJ officially responded last Friday, June 2nd, with their filing, denying, of course, everything that Bannon's team was saying. So people need to understand that whenever the D.C. Circuit Court decides to rule, it could be tomorrow, it could be a week from tomorrow, but they'll be calling Bannon and his lawyers in. And if they deny his appeal, Steve Bannon goes to jail immediately, right then. I mean, his 4 months will begin. So they're going to have him. I'm assuming he's not going to win that appeal. So they're going to have Bannon off the air from July through October of this year. So I'll throw it back to you.
And then he also next May has to face charges in the state of New York on another fraudulent, ridiculous thing that they're throwing at him. And so start to see the game that's being played. And again, a lot of these Republicans, Kane, though, in leadership, they just think that we're still in this policy debate. And I mean, you know, we look around on our show, we're like, wow, Tucker's gone for now and Bannon's going to jail. And you're like, okay, the forces are winnowing in real time. Let's just put it that way. And there will be a resurgence. Bannon's not going to be there forever. And, you know, Tucker is going to ascend. But, you know, we're not living under some delusional mystery. This is Soviet-style stuff. They will pick off a dissident one after the other after the other. And Kane, you look at this war of attrition. And then you got O'Keefe, Kane. O'Keefe now is being sued by the organization that he founded and he sacrificed for.
Yeah, that story is nuts in and of itself. You know, everyone takes James' side. People need to understand, look, founders have egos. Founders do things. James may have not run that organization perfectly, but everyone looks at it as his organization. He built that baby. And yeah, you know, the lawsuit, I can't remember if it was last week or this week, but the idea that they're trying to, you know, I have no good things to say about Project Veritas and its board members. And it really, really just pisses me off, to be honest.
Yep. And so you look at if you were to kind of put together an all-star team of, okay, obviously Trump's on the all-star team, but the all-star team, you'd say you need Bannon, you need Tucker, you need O'Keefe. Man.
Yep.
All of a sudden, what does that show you? You're living through Crossfire MAGA. It shows you that the intel agencies are broadening the scope of who they consider to be a threat to their regime. This is no longer just about, you're a threat if you hold elected office, that there is a concerted effort. And based on public reporting, a company that counts our votes, Dominion, was the one that demanded Tucker Carlson be sidelined. What a strange scenario. You have a voting machine company that wants a cable news host to be muzzled through the 2024 election. Kane, we're out of time. Everybody check out citizenfreepress.com. You are living through an unprecedented war of attrition. It's called Crossfire MAGA. Kane, thank you so much. People ask me all the time when I travel about Strong Cell. Charlie, is Strong Cell legit? Charlie, do you really believe in the anti-aging properties of NADH? Well, it's not a matter of whether or not if I believe it. It's the science. You guys could check it out. Back check me. Look at NAD and see what it could do for you. Well, look, I take NAD every single day. Strong Cell is a scientific breakthrough in cellular health replenishment that combines NADH, CoQ10, and marine collagen to boost your body's cellular function. I personally take Strong Cell every day, and so do a ton of Kirk listeners. Go see the reviews for yourself. If you are someone who relies on caffeine or sugar to get yourself going, then you have to give Strong Cell a try. I only have one important request, as I recommend this life-changing product. You've got to give it at least 4 weeks to realize the best results. It takes a little time to re-engineer your body's NADH. Think about it. It's been on decline in your middle-aged body for a year or so. So check it out. Go to strongcell.com/Charlie and read the personal testimonies for yourself. Then use promo code Charlie to get a special 20% discount on your order. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. 20% discount, strongcell.com, promo code Charlie. Joining us now is Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch, an organization that you should absolutely support. Tom Fitton testified in front of a grand jury. This, the whole thing is so confusing to me. Tom, welcome to the program. We've known each other for quite some time. Tom, I do not understand why you were, you know, basically told to testify in front of this grand jury. What prompted this? What do you have to possibly do with the Mar-a-Lago document case or January 6th? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, Charlie, you've been around a long time. What do you think prompted it?
Well, I think you're the most powerful nonprofit on the right that is challenging these cockroaches. I'll use other words, but we're FCC regulated right now. And I think that you're in the universe. So they just want to try to loop you in, make you spend a bunch of money on lawyers and preps, distract and see if they could try to make you stumble. That's my working theory.
That's right. And we could put a legal reason on it, but I think you're exactly right. And specifically, we have been highlighting the abuse of power by the Justice Department in targeting Trump on this records fakery that they made up and manufactured to justify a raid on his home and other abuses, because we had been involved in a similar case where they took the Justice Department, the courts, and the archives took the exact opposite position to protect Bill Clinton. And so as soon as this happened, we said, oh, well, isn't this interesting? They did a 180. The prior legal position of the Justice Department has been that a president who has documents after he leaves the Oval Office can't be questioned about them. They're presumptively personal, and no one can second guess him. And that was the position of the Justice Department in court, and that was the position of the court that had the most persuasive case on this. A case, by the way, we lost. So we're mighty sensitive about it. And, of course, we sued the Justice Department, the FBI, the archives for records about their abuse of Trump. And so in November, I get a knock at the door. I had just gotten back from skin cancer surgery, literally just gotten back like an hour or two before. It's at night. And guess what it was? It was two FBI agents, two young FBI agents serving me a subpoena. Evidently on this Mar-a-Lago records fiasco. But, you know, just before I went to the grand jury, ultimately, they said, oh, we want to talk to him for a few minutes on, you know, the election issues, the January 6th issue. And it turned out that was the bulk of the questioning. But in the end, Carly, it was a lot of noise signifying nothing. They argued with me for 4 hours, harassed me with questions, tried to intimidate me. And I wasn't intimidated. It was an outrageous abuse of power and of the grand jury process.
Were you allowed to go after
the number one critic of the Justice Department, dare I say it.
Of course, but this is what they do, right? I mean, this is why Bannon's going to jail. O'Keefe is currently out. Tucker's being sidelined. It's a massive muzzle operation. Anybody that's effective right now is being scheduled for cancellation off the chessboard. But Tom, were you allowed to have an attorney present during this?
You know, it was interesting. So after the subpoena, you know, you have to go get a criminal attorney. And, you know, after subpoenas issued, they talked to the Justice Department. And they were going to let me come in as under a proffer, which is you just go in and meet informally with the attorneys. And I'm only a witness. I'm not a subject or a target. And they said, OK. And then we tried to get a time. I was sick, as I told you. And then all of a sudden, it turns out it was right in the middle of the whole Biden fiasco that was going on behind the scenes when he got where he got caught with documents. Remember, they hid that from us at the time. They said, oh, no, we're going to reassert the subpoena. You have to show up at the grand jury, which means you're right. I can't have my attorney with me at the grand jury. They're in a room outside of it. And if there's an issue, I can go and talk to them. But it was me versus three prosecutors.
While you're in a grand jury, you're not allowed to have an attorney next to you. Is that? How is that remotely constitutional? I've never heard of such a thing.
It's a fair question. It's just the way it's done.
Is the attorney listening to the conversation or in the other room? Or is the attorney totally disconnected from it?
I mean, I can say I want to go consult my attorney and they let me step out for a minute or two.
No, but this is important because, Tom, we know what this is all about. We're not trusting of these people. They wanted to try to have you misremember one thing, and then they indict you for lying to a grand jury.
Yeah, and that's the game. But we spent most of the time arguing about politics and First Amendment protected activity, about the Clinton sock drawer case, the case I referenced earlier, about electors and and I told them, and this is quite specific, I told them, by the way, there was a plan by Democrats to engage in civil insurrection if Trump won the election. And I was very much concerned about that and what the preparations were for that violence that they were signaling and planning. Indeed, I read in the New York Times that John Podesta had war gamed a scenario where states would secede from the union, left-wing states would secede from the union unless they got the Electoral College results they wanted. And that's what I was concerned about, and I was wondering why no one had been investigating that. So, you know, that was evidence before the grand jury. Maybe they'll follow up on it, Charlie.
Right. But then all of a sudden you come in under false pretenses, and then January 6th gets thrown on you. Is that correct?
Yeah, they only spent about an hour talking to me about this Mar-a-Lago fiasco. And then 3 hours arguing with me about emails and tweets related to the election dispute. And as I'm talking to them about it, I'm like, "Why? First of all, why am I being questioned about my tweets and other First Amendment protected activity?" It was just pure politics. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. It was like being on some sort of nightmarish MSNBC program.
And but this,
and that's the approach the prosecutors took with.
So they asked you what you had for lunch at the White House. Is that reporting correct?
So, you know, I went in, you know, we had lunch with him once and I told him something. They wanted to know his reaction. Like, I don't remember what his reaction was. I mean, he's, you know, my view is unless you're a monkey climbing up and down the roll of the walls, no one's really going to remember much of a reaction to comments you make. And then they said, well, you know, did you have lunch with him another time? I said, well, I don't remember. I said, no, I did, because I remembered what we ate, right? And they're like, oh, so you remember what you eat at lunch, but not how he reacted? And I thought, you know, this is just so outrageous. It's just so outrageous and so juvenile and petty, but also dangerous because they're, you know, suggesting you're, you know, having a false failure to remember in front of a grand jury, which would be a crime. So that's the game they were playing with the head of the country's number one government watchdog organization. It'd be like bringing in, to be clear, the head of the ACLU or the NAACP. But this Justice Department doesn't give a rat's tail. And it's, we're now in the era of a regime, not an administration.
Tom, was this in Florida or D.C.?
It was up here in D.C.
But I'm told the grand jury. Okay, so but the charges might be filed against Trump in Florida. Is that true?
Yeah, that's what the reporting is. The problem that they have going back to the law, which I hope is supposed to apply, is that the analysis of the law prior to Trump had been that the president has deference as to how he handles records. Classified and presidential. And if he takes them with him, they're presumptively his and personal. So so rather than try to deal with that, they're pretending, well, it's national defense information, according to reports. And maybe they can get around it that way by, you know, saying he doesn't have prerogatives that he has related to classified information. And of course, that's just bunk, too, because they're all the records he had were initially covered by the Presidential Records Act. And if he designates them as presidential or personal, and that designation doesn't have to be official, it can be informal in the sense he just takes them and uses them. And in this case of the president, if he keeps them after he leaves office, they're presumptively personal. That covers any record the government has given him in the White House, including national defense information. And it's not a statutory issue. It's a constitutional issue. He's commander in chief. He uses the records as he sees fit.
So, Tom, how do you think this is going to play out? I mean, you testify.
They're going to indict him.
Okay.
I think they're going to indict him in Fulton County, too. And the left is hoping one of the three stick, and he's forced to campaign from jail. This is a serious threat to our Republican form of government, Charlie. And our friends here in Washington, I don't need to tell you, are whistling past the graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
Past the graveyard with this attack on our structure of government, our ability to govern ourselves, our right to select our own president and not have the offices of the Justice Department and the FBI be used by a political party rig an election.
And a fair amount of Republicans in D.C. are thrilled about this. They're like, finally, we can get rid of this Trump guy. Finally,
that's right.
Cancer. Finally. Right, Tom? In D.C., they're like, finally, finally, finally. That's how many of them feel about
it. Well, you see some of his opponents in the campaign.
Yep. Chris Christie.
Disturbingly or trying to justify this abuse of him. And, you know, all those men know better and women and they should know if he isn't the nominee, they'll try to jail them, too.
They think they're untouchable. They think that they've made a deal with the intel agencies and they might be right. Some of them the way.
No, that may be true. They may sign the deal with the devil, too. It doesn't, you know, in the end, though, it's up to us. And this isn't because I Trump, I like personally. He's a friend, and I would dare say. But it's not about his policies or whether he should be president or not. It's about whether or not is he going to be protected under our law or are all the rules going to be thrown out? And when you throw out all the rules because you hate Trump, it means the rules that govern us as a constitutional republic in terms of our structure of government. It means our core civil rights, including our First Amendment right to challenge an election and our participate in our system without fear of punishment being thrown in jail. So all of those rules that are being abused against Trump, and I saw it firsthand, I'm a witness, I'm a victim. You know, if they're not protecting Trump, you think the rest of us are going to be safe? I can tell you firsthand, we're not.
They're coming after every single one of us, one by one. Tom Fitton, thanks so much. God bless you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it.
Okay, well, it's Pride Month, everybody. How's it going for everyone out there? You know, there is there's somebody that I spoke to recently, and he said, oh, you know, they're not going after your kids. Stop being a right-wing conspiracy theorist. Now, this tape that we're going to play, it's just so interesting how hypersensitive and aggressive they are to try to prevent us from airing this on our program. This is the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. If we were to post this video on social media, within seconds, not seconds, within minutes, there would be copyright violations. Now, you could spread pedophilia on Instagram. You could do all that stuff. They don't really care. But if you dare put this video on your social media, you literally get a strike. We got a strike on our YouTube channel because we posted it for being a copyright violation. Why? Well, because this is the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir who's saying, we will convert your children, and multiple people in the video were sex offenders. This video is from 2021, to be clear, but it's important just to remind you that you're in Pride Month, that the Gay Men's Choir sings in harmony, literally, that they want to come after your children. If you've not seen this video, you need to see it, and boy, they're doing everything they can to try to prevent this video from being in the public domain. Play cut 100.
We have a message for you.
You think we're sinful? You fight against our rights. You say we all lead lives you can't respect. But you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it.
We'll convert your children and make an ally of you, yet.
That is 60 gay men singing in unison about how we will come and convert your children subtly and quietly. Remember Chasten Buttigieg, who pledged to the gay flag? Now, when he did this and we said, oh, wow, they're going to start pledging to the gay flag and saluting the gay flag, we were called what? Conspiracy theorists, alarmists. Even some Christian and pastors said, Charlie, you're being unloving. Who are we to say that you shouldn't salute the gay agenda? Remember Chasten Buttigieg? Now, remember what is introduced moves the Overton window. Play cut 42.
All right. I pledge my heart.
To the rainbow.
To the rainbow.
Of the not so typical gay camp.
Of the not so typical gay camp.
One camp.
One camp.
Full of pride.
Full of pride.
Indivisible.
Indivisible.
With affirmation and equal rights for all.
With affirmation and equal rights for all.
Watch your heads.
So that is a children's gay camp that Pete Buttigieg's sexual partner, Chasten Buttigieg, is running and having children pledge to the gay flag. Now we have a clip out of San Francisco, a state government where they are doing a ceremony where they're marching in and they're raising the flag. What flag are they raising? This is the police department, the sheriff's office, where they have the American flag and the gay flag both walking in. Just keep my microphone active. Play cut 101. So there you have the American flag and the pride flag being treated with equal respect and being raised up. Sheriff, police, and fire departments standing in honor and some even saluting the gay trans flag in San Francisco with piety, respect, reverence. Ah, yes, you must put your hand over your heart, as you can see. And that is San Francisco. We were told it was all going to just, we're going to stop talking about it after Obergefell. Come on, let gay marriage just be the law of the land. And by the way, their cultural conquest is not complete. They will never stop. This is just step one. They're not going to be happy till the gay flag is above the American flag. Happy Pride Month, everybody. Hope it's going great for you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.